Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, as many of you know, last night was the President Barack Obama's final State of the Union address. Reverend Graham, this is Franklin Graham, had posted something just prior to the address. It says this: Reverend Graham on the State of the Union. Then there's a colon and a quote, and it says, "Our nation is broken. It's broken morally. It's broken spiritually. It's broken politically." And then the article goes on. This was posted in CNSnews.com, CNSnews.com. And it goes on to say this. It says, in anticipation of President Barack Obama's last State of the Union address on Tuesday night, Reverend Franklin Graham said he could already reveal the condition of our nation. It's broken morally, spiritually, politically, and racially. And the Reverend added that he hoped President Obama would turn to God for wisdom and direction in leading America for his last 12 months in office. Now, if you watched the speech last night, and I know sometimes these things don't get much of an audience. Sometimes it's pretty predictable what's going to be said and who's going to applaud and all of that. I think it's really, really sad that it has basically just become a political theater, and that it really does not give us, in my opinion, a true State of the Union. Maybe it did at one time, but now it's very partisan. The guests that are invited, I think Michelle Obama had something like 23 guests that were in her box there at the State of the Union address. Of course, all of the people that are invited are the ones that, as guests, are the ones that prop up the positions on both sides of the aisle of the, you know, different positions that were taken throughout the year. So I'm very jaded and cynical about just what it has become as a whole. As I watched portions of it last night, I was very disappointed in the president's demeanor in the very beginning of it. I thought that there was much too much levity in the opening part of it, you know, joking about, you know, people running for office and joking, you know, making political jokes. And this wasn't a roast. You know, this isn't the press dinner that they do where they, you know, make fun of each other and these types of things. This is the state of our nation, and our nation is at a crossroads. Islamic terrorism or extremism is taking over vast parts of Europe. The graves of the folks that were killed there in San Bernardino are still fresh. Police officers have been attacked here, ambushed just recently by Islamic leaning individuals. We've got Iran last night had taken some of our sailors hostage. We've got North Korea telling us that they now have an H-bomb. These are very, very serious times. And I was very disappointed with the opening part of it and the levity that I felt was there. I didn't think that it matched at all what was what the times call for. And then the highly partisan and rosy view of where we currently are. And then this rhetoric of the future, I thought was really was not fitting for what we needed in the State of the Union in this country. Well, here to talk to us about that and to think more about what was said last night is Dr. Greg Fraser. Dr. Greg Fraser has been with us numerous times on the broadcast before. He's a professor of history and political studies at the Master's College. You can find out more about him and about the college out at this website. It's www.masters.edu. Dr. Fraser, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you, Kevin.
Oh, Dr. Fraser, I gave my little analysis of just the general, you know, thoughts about what took place last night. Do you agree, or what's your thoughts about what took place?
I think you're exactly wrong. No, I don't. Please,
no, I don't get that very often.
I think you're pretty spot on. And, you know, it's interesting, too, when you talk about the tone and the approach that the president took and so forth. If you look at the Constitution, which, of course, is a rare thing these days, when the idea of giving a State of the Union address is not just something that somebody cooked up along the way. It's in the Constitution. In Article 2, Section 3, it says, he shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient. And one of the things that's really struck me over the last few years with this particular president is the State of the Union address for him is not a situation in which he recommends things to Congress, because he is under the impression that he can do a lot of things all by himself. Mm. And so it's more of a statement of what he plans to do. And this, I think, reflects a really bad development in our country, not just under Barack Obama, but it's been developing for years, mm-hmm. which is the notion that the president runs the country, which, of course, is not true. And so the idea of the State of the Union address was to present to Congress the State of the Union and ideas as to what they should do, because they're the lawmakers. You know, it was interesting last night in his opening, when the president was talking about the things that make America strong and secure, he included in that list our commitment to the rule of law. Mm. He says that's one of the things that gives us hope for the future. And later on, he said, I can't do these things on my own. And I don't know if you noticed it, but when he said that, there was one really loud person clapping. And I think that was someone in sort of in irony applauding what the president, saying that there's something that he can't do on his own after the last State of the Union, when he said, I've got a pen and a phone and I'm going to do everything on my own. And since then, he's done things on his own.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, that's just kind of a reflection of where we are. And I think it's a sad situation.
Yeah, I thought that the overall tone of it, too, when the assessment was finally gotten to of the current situation in our State of the Union, I thought it was, first of all, a very rosy picture of what is taking place. You know, it certainly had rose-colored glasses on and almost seemed to deny any real issues that we were facing as a nation. And I think the fact that he, you know, stated right in the very beginning that he was basically making a beeline for this, you know, very utopian view of the future of what it needs to be. And that's really what he wants to talk about is, you know, his vision for what the future of the world should be. I thought that that was telling in the fact that, hey, I'm going to list these different things about my accomplishments, but really everything is going really well. Let me get on to what my vision is now for the rest of the world for the next 5 or 10 years. And again, that just spoke volumes to me about not taking the current problems seriously enough.
Yeah, I think pretty much the whole speech was totally disconnected from reality, but that's something that I think he is sort of specialized in. Let's run through just quickly the progress, as he put it, mm-hmm. that he's accomplished. He said, we've recovered from the worst economic crisis in generations. Well, it depends on what you mean by recovery. We have the lowest labor participation rate since the 1950s. If it had been just an average recovery, we would have had an 18.8% rise in GDP, in gross domestic product, but we've had only a 9% rise. The growth rate under Ronald Reagan was 34% in his recovery. So there are a lot of questions about the recovery itself. He mentioned that unemployment rate is down to 5%. Well, that's because 40% of those out of jobs have stopped looking for jobs. There would be 12 million more jobs if it was a Reagan-paced recovery. And if it was, an average recovery, there would be $3,400 more per year per person in income. He said, we've reformed the healthcare system, but millions have lost coverage, and prices are soaring. In every state except one, prices are going up in double digits, in some states by 47%. And he said nearly 18 million people have gained health care coverage, but 12 million of those people got bounced off of the coverage they already had. And the other 6 million were people who have been added to the coverage. But the problem is you need 20 million, by his own account, to be solvent. So he's still 2 million people short of being solvent. Mm. Not only that, there's not nearly enough people who are healthy and young, which was what the whole system was based on, getting young, healthy people to buy into the system who weren't going to drain it. He said, we've reinvented the energy sector, but that's by killing the coal industry and giving hundreds of millions of dollars to solar companies, some of which were famously failures. He said, we provided benefits for the troops. Well, what about the VA scandal?
I know.
He said we've secured freedom in every state to marry the person we love. Well, that's, of course, a reference to the same-sex marriage ruling. And it has nothing to do with love. Mm. The law says nothing about love in any state concerning marriage. And then finally he said gas under $2 ain't too bad either. Well, the gasoline national gasoline price in January 2009 when he came into office was $1.84.
Hmm.
And most of the time in between then, it's been over $3, even $4. And where I live in California, approaching $5.
Hmm.
So in all of these instances, you know, there's a – oh, and I left out perhaps the best one. He said, we've cut deficits by three-fourths. Well, that's after more than quadrupling them. He more than quadrupled the deficit and then took credit for cutting it. And the national debt in his 7 years in office, remember now that there have been over 200 years of United States history. And in the last 7 years, he has doubled the national debt that had been accumulated over 200 years.
Wow. Yeah. What was added? I think it was $8 trillion or so to the national debt during his 7 years so far.
Almost $10 trillion now.
Almost $10 trillion. Wow. Trillion. These numbers, we can't even comprehend, you know, just how much money this is, but just basically an unsustainable amount of money for a country. And we're in big trouble with just talking about the national debt itself. This is, it's unsustainable. So I have no clue how you could give some sort of a rosy picture and how the American people allow him to give this rosy picture of where we're at without, you know, really standing up and saying, we're not going to take it any longer, that this is disingenuous, to say the least, but it is it's certainly not an accurate assessment of where we're at. Now, he painted this picture, hey, we faced challenges before, and we need to face challenges again. And then he listed a few of these things. You know, he says, first, we have to give everyone a fair shot at opportunity and security in this new economy. It's just lofty language. Second, we need to make technology work for us and not against us, especially in solving challenges like climate change. Third, how do we keep America safe and lead the world without becoming its policeman? Well, I thought it was interesting that third down the list was keeping America safe. And before that, we had climate change and giving everybody a fair shot. To me, those are priorities are out of whack. What do you think?
Yeah, and this is another illustration of how he's disconnected from reality. You know, his emphasis was on changing congressional redistricting, making it easier to vote, dealing with climate change, campaign finance reform. Those are the things that he pushed for. These are things that are way down the list on what really matters to Americans. And what's going on in the world's a mess. The whole Middle East is on fire. The Russians have taken parts of Ukraine and other regions. As you mentioned, Americans at the time of the speech last night were being held, 10 Americans, 10 more Americans, we should say, were being held by Iran. He started a sentence in speaking about Iran, as we speak, and then he went on to say Iran has gotten rid of nuclear material and so on and so forth. He could have finished the sentence, as we speak, Iran is holding 10 more Americans hostage. And, of course, they've been holding 4 Americans for years.
Right.
that they didn't do anything about in the whole negotiations with Iran. So I didn't mention Paris, didn't mention San Bernardino, didn't mention any of these terrorist issues. And then, amazingly, he said that we don't have to be blustery, and America doesn't have to be the policeman of the world. We just need to take a, quote, smarter approach, end quote. And then as an example of that, he talked about their approach to Syria. Goodness sakes.
Yes.
There were 250,000 people dead in Syria. Even people in his own aisle considered the Syria policy a disaster. There are tens of thousands of refugees, hundreds of thousands of refugees who are flooding Europe and now wanting to come to the United States. This is a smarter approach. And the reason you said, you know, how can he get away with, you know, he talked about the accomplishment of the Paris Climate Change Agreement, which of course has no enforcement mechanism either.
Mm-hmm.
And 200 representatives of countries flew jets to Paris to talk about climate change, which is ironic
mm-hmm.
when you can just do Skype.
Yeah.
But anyway, you said how can he say this and expect the American people to let him get away with it? Well, the reason is because he has his co-conspirator, which is the media.
Mm-hmm.
The media, they love him, and they largely agree with him. I'm speaking in general terms about the media.
Right.
They love him, and they more or less agree with him, and so they don't hold his feet to the fire, and they let him say pretty much whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm. You know, the overall sense of it was Barack Obama started his presidency with speeches, you know, that he was an eloquent deliverer of the speech. I don't know if he necessarily writes his own speeches, but he was able to deliver a speech and the teleprompter. And to me, he is now ending his presidency with a speech. And it's all just been a lot of speeches. And sometimes they're well delivered and so forth, but it's just the rhetoric of the speeches doesn't match the reality of what is taking place in the country. And I saw that at the beginning of his presidency, and here we are now 7 years later, and nothing much has changed. He still appears to me to be campaigning. He has never left the campaign mode and come out to really govern the country. It's always been this campaign mode that he's been in. And basically last night, I saw a person again campaigning for, you know, what things that he would like to do and so forth, but not really, I didn't get the sense of a leader, that we had a leader of the country who was now leading us through the problems that we face. Did you get a similar sense?
Yeah, I mean, that's what he has done throughout is his presidency has been all about telling people what a great job he's doing all along. And there, you know, the political scientists have done studies and analyzed his speeches, and he's arguably the most narcissistic president in American history. The use of the word I. Last night I noticed that he changed it to a lot of we. Which was probably some advice that was given to him by his aides because of the criticism that's been given in some circles for just I did this, I did this, I did this. But it's just trying to convince people in the work of terrorists. His communications director said Republicans had bombs strapped to them when they opposed one of his policies. His approach throughout his presidency has been, it's my way or the highway.
Exactly.
Well, last night he called for rational, constructive debate. He hasn't been open to anything like that. From the very beginning of the presidency, it was elections have consequences.
Yes.
And so this is what we're going to do. The people have elected me. I have a mandate. And so he refused to work with the Republicans at the very beginning and all the way through. And then the other thing that he threw in at the end is, you know, democracy withers when basic facts are contested. And that was a throwback again to the climate change issue. Well, what's a basic fact? Because, you know, whatever he decides is factual, that's a basic fact that cannot be contested. And that's true in a number of arenas throughout his presidency. And so now he's lecturing all of us and lecturing Congress that they need to be more civil, which translated basically means you need to go along with whatever I say.
Mm. He ended the speech by saying this: I believe in change because I believe in you, the American people. And that's why I stand here as confident as I have been that the State of the Union is strong. Well, as you can see there, I believe in change. There's that narcissism again. And he's using the campaign slogan, you know, the hope and change. He's coming full circle here, the end of the, you know, the political life of Barack Obama. And he is bringing back in, yeah, I ran on hope and change. Well, things have changed, but they have not changed for the better. He has fundamentally transformed the country, just like he said he would in the very beginning. But that transformation has not been for the better. It's been for the worse. And I think that that is just telling what we witnessed take place there last night. We're down to just 1 minute. Just got to have a brief comment. If you watched at the post show there with Nikki Haley giving the response. Any thoughts?
You're from South Carolina, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I thought you were well represented last night. I thought she did a very good job. And I don't like to focus on presentation and all that stuff, but you have to because that's important in a television situation. I thought her presentation was good, but her content was really good. And I thought that the high point was a part that some people were upset about, but and that is where she said that there have been mistakes made by both sides.
Mm.
And I think that that's something that Americans really are starving to hear.
Mm.
When the rating of Congress is below that of head lice in a recent poll, that the American people are ready for someone to take sort of the higher ground and say, you know what, there are mistakes and errors made on both sides, and we both need to work better. And I thought that was really, really excellent.
Yeah, I no doubt about it. The Republican Party is certainly, you know, at least the establishment part of it, is certainly responsible for, has their own guilt for the mess that we find ourselves in, no doubt about it. I didn't really appreciate some of the comments that she had made where she took a swipe at some of the people running for office right now. I thought that that wasn't the place to express those opinions. But that was the only part of her speech that I didn't really agree with. Well, Dr. Fraser, thank you so much again for the work that you do there at the Master's College and taking time out today to talk with us about this important issue.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay, again, that was Dr. Greg Fraser. And as I was pointing out in the beginning, Dr. Fraser is a professor of history and political studies at the Master's College. That's www.masters.edu.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.